Annem be.
Morning, Jerry. How are you?
I'm okay, man. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
বাবাস্থল দত্তমতিক
বাবাস্থল
কুঞ্জানু বাবাস্থল
স্কুলকে তুমি জান
যাপি
এবং গানা
ওসে জাস্ট এ রিভার
ওয়াই
Hayi ndenyitho hlala khona.
Hayi lodo.
Yaphethe amabali.
Yando tsana.
Unjani baba?
Khona futhi unjani?
Yaphile.
Hey ndade
mina khona ke how are you my chef?
Ngiyabona use parliament.
Lodo akenge parliament. That's my background.
Yeah. Right ndade mina. We must switch off all the dogs and the cats and the music and the TV and the IPCC, Hostel Church, and the donkeys and the horses and the cows and everything.
We are living in rural areas, sir.
Yes, yes.
We are living in deep rural areas.
You must collect
in the little chickens. You will have sound of chickens, cats and donkeys.
Yes, the cows and the and the donkeys and the cows.
Yes.
I like it. I want to see you connected in the middle of the cross.
Can you mute your mic, please? We are listening to your music.
We can't even hear what that song
is. Vian need to switch off his mic.
Oh, Vian, who can see Prophet Omotoso? Yeah, maybe the test.
Hello?
Oh, hey. Sorry, man.
We are now post the greetings, so I think we can start.
Hello?
Can you mute your mic?
Yebo.
Yeah, maybe the host might
The host, can you help us?
Okay, sir. Vuyane, please mute your mic.
Honorable members, I think we can now commence with our meeting. You are well welcomed to this important meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism. We must also welcome our dearest Honorable Minister, Ausma Moloku, and the Deputy Minister, and the rest of the staff, both from the Department of Tourism and the Portfolio Committee on Tourism. You are all welcomed. I understand the majority of the country is experiencing some rains, so I just hope that it will not affect connectivity for the rest of us who are in this particular meeting. South Africans who are following up our meeting on different social media platforms, you are also welcomed, fellow South Africans. to this important meeting of the Portfolio Committee. Today, honorable members, we are just going to be dealing with the welcoming remarks and introduction, which I have already done. We will then go to apologies, then provide the department with an opportunity to present a report on quarter one for 2020 and 2021 financial year quarterly reports. After that, honorable members will have some engagements with the department based on the reports. From there, we'll proceed as a committee now on our own, having released the minister and deputy minister and their team to deal with our draft committee report for quarter three, quarter four, for financial year 19 and 20. Thereafter, we'll deal with the minutes, announcements, and closure. Can we have somebody moving for adoption of the agenda?
Chair?
Aye.
Chair.
Okay, TS, you move for adoption?
Yes, Chair Kreko Shila, moving for the adoption of the agenda.
Yes, Honorable Kreko Shila. I'm so used to calling you TS. I forget that you are Honorable Kreko Shila. Ndatemiyeni, you are secondly.
Yes, I do second.
Thank you, Honorable Miyeni. Thanks very much for that. So we now take it that the agenda is adopted for this meeting, Honorable Members. Ndate Boltina, apologies.
The initial apology I've received was that the whip may not be with us, but I can see she has come in. She's around. So it means your team is we are all here, Chairperson.
All right, no problem.
Yes, all committee members are here.
Okay, Auseli, you are welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, you are welcome, Auseli. Honorable members, we have reached a stage where we must now get a report from the department on the performance for 2020-2021, quarter one. So without wasting time, I'm going to give over to...
In the Western Cape, in the area within Garden Route, we started quite a lot of activities that we saw, Gauteng similarly as well. And one of the things which one appreciates is the support from the MECs in terms of even them having stakeholder engagements, picking up issues and being able to flag them with us, especially directly with myself, calls and all that. So we've been quite intact in terms of trying to manage quite a lot of issues. Chair, as we moved to level one, quite a number of activities started working or coming back in terms of subsectors. And that we appreciate from a tourism point of view. We have said to ourselves that because some of the activities would note that are not directly responsibility of the Department of Tourism, but are from our sister departments that we interact with. When there are challenges, then we interact to understand where they can support the tourism sector. So over the weekend, there were quite a lot of things that we picked up, and we've been working with the colleagues in cabinet who give us updates to say this is how they are resolving. The issue, for example, say, if I may, that was flagged with me was around the visa issues, where you know we do not control that area, but it's Minister Mzoli. So we were part of the engagement meeting to process the issues. What had happened is that when we had hard lockdown, the visa status, free entry to the country for all countries had been stopped completely because there was no entry. So when a letter was sent to various destinations, missions, airlines, and everyone. Now, when the lockdown happened, the minister announced the opening, but destinations, including airlines, they still had a written document that needed to be retracted. And at least we were able to work around the clock to get that retracted. The second issue that Minister Malula had brought to our attention was the issues around the cruise, which he had to work around the clock as well to try and resolve. So those are not directly on our portfolio, but things that are happening that impact on tourism that are within other portfolios in terms of work. We ask the team to monitor what is happening, Chair, in terms of that. And I think for us, 2 weeks will be enough to be able to see what the issues are. What remains as well, the challenges, that as we open as South Africa, some of the countries are going towards restriction, hard restrictions, which will become a challenge because some of them are our key source markets. And we'll deal with this when we present, even when we come to present together with SAT in terms of the work that we do internationally. So how is that impacted and all those things. But for now, Chair, just to indicate that since the opening of international borders, from our side, we are monitoring to look at what is happening. What I was happy about when we had discussion with some of the MECs was that they were also understanding that our sector needs to start even repositioning. There are markets that we've never taken serious. There are markets that we've never really went all out to try and work on. And this, for example, the markets in terms of the continent, many of our attractions have not been able to design their products or even try to interact with those markets and sell products too. So we'll work together with the MECs so that we can be able to do jointly, sometimes even joint campaigns, to try and bring the numbers. Because the understanding of many people, or even the misunderstanding of many people, is to think that in terms of the continent, there is no money. So the value of money that is there. But when you look at certain markets, especially when you look at West Africa, you do know that a lot of money that they spend, for example, they go to Dubai, they go to London for shopping, and they end up spending in terms of the accommodation and all those things. And that's the niche market that we've not been able to extremely tap on and bring, either even the issues around your destination, weddings, and all that. That quite a number of them who are high class, who spend, are not coming to South Africa. And the marketing around that will be very critical so that we start even supplementing our destination because of having to find alternatives to what our key source markets are not able to give us for now. Because if you look at our key source markets, for example, as US and Europe, you'd know that many of the countries have restrictions. If you leave, for example, some of the countries in Europe, when you come to us, when you go back, you'll be quarantined. There is warnings. I've been interacting, for example, with Germany ambassador, who we have not listed as a high risk. It's one key source market that we've got for from the euro. But you would understand that they've got to isolate for 6 days. So still, some of the people who are traveling to South Africa might be discouraged to come to South Africa because of this. And therefore, we'll have to tap into those who normally come to South Africa for 3 months, for example, when it's summer here and it's winter other side, they come here. So we'll have to tap into that and try and actually encourage those to come because they will stay here longer. Otherwise, the one who comes shorter, when they go back, they're not allowed to move because it's 6 days of isolation within their own country, having returned to South Africa. So we're constantly monitoring the issues. I've been in touch with some of the members of TBCSA under PASTA, which are the airlines, just to understand some of the challenges so that when we get into the discussion, I have full information of what is happening and where we can assist. And we constantly have to remind South Africans, and especially in our sector, to say, it's not yet Uhuru because the pandemic has not gone. You'd note today that we have reached, we've passed now 17,000 mark in terms of death, though we are seeing a high number of recovery. Now, the fear from scientists still remains in terms of fearing for what we call the second stage. Now, if you look at what is in the global space, you see that the second stage actually is even worse. And the devastating impact of the second stage is worse than what you would have seen in first. So our interest as tourism and as a player within the economic space is to say we should never as South Africa have the second stage and have to work hard to ensure that we do not have that because the devastating impact will be worse. So sustaining the current trajectory within the country in terms of the pandemic will be good for South Africa. And that's why all of us have to work towards making sure that we do not have a worse off of the situation in terms of where we are. So Chair, just I thought I should just give colleagues an update on some of the issues properly in some of the areas where colleagues are, and then I can directly get the DG to present the quarter one performance, and then we'll take questions from them. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Elsa Mamelogo. Thank you very much for those opening remarks. Ndate Tarage, Ogazola Pele, you are welcome, my bro.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Thank you to the Minister. Good morning to the colleagues. I will ask Paul to... Yes, thank you, Paul. Honorable Chairperson, we've got 77 slides. We'll try to go as quickly as possible. I'm going to take up all the slides up to slide number 23. Then I will ask DDG Malan to come in for not more than 5 minutes to take us through program two. And then DDG Chetia to take us through program three. Which will also not take more than 5 minutes, hopefully not more than 3 minutes. Then we will go to program four, and Acting DDG Sidwaba will take us through that, which will be another 5 minutes, and then the CFO will come in. I will also come in with regards to program one. Currently, we do have an apology from the DDG responsible for corporate management. She is currently on sick leave, but I agreed that I will take responsibility for that part of the presentation. I will then go, Honorable Chairperson, to the service delivery environment. We in the request that we received, Honorable Chairperson, there was an indication that there are two aspects to the presentation. One would be matters related to COVID, and Minister has really covered most of that. And the other aspect then would be the specifics related to the actual performance information. We have been affected, and I'm on slide four. We have been affected by the pandemic, with the borders, the issues around transportation, and also issues around the utilization of the facilities. That had a real impact on the sector. We also, from previous disasters of a global nature that have happened, have come to learn that tourism is indeed a resilient sector. Of course, we have never faced something like this that we are faced with currently, but I think there is some evidence already suggesting that there will definitely be a future, and we will definitely be back. Although it will be in a form of a new normal. We have had to adapt our strategies. We have had to develop a recovery plan. Slide five, internally we have had to look at how do we ensure that there's business continuity. And that included development of what one would call the internal protocols to be able to make sure that we do not have a spread of the virus amongst our employees and also amongst our clients that would be visiting the facilities and so on. So those we put in place and were actually implemented. We also had to look at our own systems in terms of how we are going to continue with servicing stakeholders, working on all these other aspects, including issues around the recovery, but also including issues around the risk adjusted strategy, the workings with the industry and so on. So we actually became a virtual department, if one could put it that way. But what was pleasing is that work was actually taking place during that particular period, albeit that there are certain aspects that were, of course, impacted upon. We also looked at how do we then support industry, particularly the most vulnerable businesses, SMEs in particular, as well as the tourist guys, and I will speak a little bit more to that in the later slide. And we learned quite a lot of lessons with regards to how we can also improve our own business processes. The introduction of the use of technology in some of these areas has actually showed us that we can actually do certain things better in this manner that we are doing things during COVID as a normal way of actually doing things in some of the cases. And employee health and wellness was really, really at the top of our mind. And that also included making sure that we are providing psychosocial support where necessary, and making sure that there's a proper understanding of what that support entails. And a number of colleagues were able to take advantage of that, and making sure that they are able to continue to function effectively. Slide 6 introduces the outcomes of surveys. Honorable Chairperson and other members would remember the last time we actually shared the outcomes of the survey that was conducted in April, which covered mainly the month of March, and that was the beginning of the lockdown period. We now have the second survey that has been conducted, which was done, concluded in terms of the report in July, but it would then have the reference period of up to June. On slide 7, I will then go into the outcomes of that particular report. 99% of the businesses that were responding indicated that they were indeed affected by COVID. And there was a slight improvement in terms of levels of optimism, with 67% of the businesses feeling neutral or positively believing that their businesses will still survive COVID and that they will recover. This was marginally up from 64% in April. 61% of enterprises were not operating in June. And 54% they were saying they would rather reopen, of that they were saying they would rather reopen in September. And of course, during that particular period, it was because there wasn't a clear indication as yet as to whether we'd be having interprovincial movement, domestic travel, and even as we have now, international travel. Biggest concern when it comes to reopening, as I have just stated, of course, is mainly the issues about the operating environment, but the key issue being whether there will be sufficient demand to break even. And most of those businesses were of the view that they may not necessarily be able to break even at that point. 95% of the enterprises, and this was up from March, the April survey, which was up 83% from 83% in that period, they reported that their revenues in May were down more than 50%. And this is year on year, May 2019 compared to May 2020. 75% of the enterprises were saying that their revenues were actually 100% less. And this actually means that they closed down at that point. They were not necessarily operating. This compared to the prior period was much, much, much higher, because looking at it, you've got 34% and that then moved right up to 75%. The on slide 8, 64% of enterprises were unable to service their debts, and 67% of enterprises were unable to service fixed costs. The most common mitigation measure regarding the workforce management was about 55% of the enterprises who had to do with only 50% of the workforce, 55% of the enterprises had their workforce on less about half of their normal salaries. And the number of enterprises that were putting people on what one would call unpaid leave during that particular period was also on the rise. 43% of the enterprises indicated that they did not make any redundancies, and they kept most of their staff. These are largely businesses that were getting most of the relief from the UIF TERS in particular, and that actually assisted those particular businesses in terms of keeping the workforce during that particular period. Medium-sized enterprises were the most affected in terms of the wage reduction at 89% of the workforce. And then when it comes to large businesses, 15% of those large businesses were reporting that they 16% of the large businesses were reporting that they would consider halving their staff during that particular period as well. On slide 9, most of the businesses were looking at deferment of bookings as opposed to complete cancellation. We are now going to be running with this next survey, and it will be interesting to see what the report says on the third, when we run the third survey, particularly with this group, where we were saying that they rather not cancel, but just postpone. Whether that postponement indeed took place or whether those cancellations actually materialized. And the main forms of support that prioritized financial support was around cash flow, was around recovery, and was also on taking advantage of the tax relief measures that were introduced. But what we then saw is that shifted from the period of March. In the period of June, there were new types of services that emerged, and this included expert advice on business recovery. It included expert advice on health and safety measures, and it also included issues of how to deal with commercial debt repayment and restructuring issues and so on. So there was still a level of optimism that people were working towards when that recovery comes. These are the kinds of things we should be on top of, and they were not necessarily giving up on their businesses. Micro-enterprises indicated that cash flow was their first priority. Small enterprises prioritized support for recovery. And then the medium and large businesses prioritized tax relief, which they considered to be able to bring sufficient relief. And all of these businesses across medium, small, and as well as large businesses, they all were quite familiar with the UIF scheme as well as the relief fund, and they those who were eligible for those schemes were able to take advantage of them. This slide 10 is just to indicate the journey we have traveled from the time when the only thing that could be done in terms of tourism was a facility that could be a quarantine site, to now when we have got three airports that are operating for international travel and markets that are designated as those that we can actually source our tourists from at this point in time. It has been a long journey, but we are obviously cautiously optimistic about the future. The one thing one can indicate here is that when we did our presentations, particularly around the updates on the reviewed APPs, we could not foresee this, that we would be talking about the borders opening first of October, and even the time that we were able to come back with regards to the interprovincial movement, it was not something that we could easily foresee. Now we have got outdoor events at 500, we have got 250 indoor events, and we continuously work to make sure that we are resilient and we are not necessarily a contributing factor to going back and regressing in terms of making sure that the compliance, effective compliance with regards to the protocols. On slide 11, we have reported this before, Nobu Chairperson. We have had to do budget reprioritization. And the initial one was within the financial year 2019-2020. And that entails the 200 million rands that we then used to fund the relief, the tourism relief fund for the SMEs. And within this financial year, 30 million rands that we have actually used to support the freelance tourist guides. We have reported about the budget cuts previously. Suffice to say that overall it amounted to a billion. The environment in terms of the market environment was not conducive at that time for most of the activities that would have to be undertaken by South African tourism. This included the inability to actually have any form of activations within the markets, engagements in terms of trade shows, all of which that we were going to be participating, whether it was ITB, whether it was all of them, Fiduran, so they had to be cancelled. So there was all these savings that were actually made from there, including activations that were going to take place when events are being hosted in South Africa, in terms of the pre and post activations that would have taken place. None of that actually could take place during that particular period. So in that kind of environment, we were able to then go to Treasury and say, Treasury, it is okay. This can then be part of the contribution to the bigger fights with regards to making sure that we stabilize the environment regarding the COVID situation. But we were also very clear that it would be important that when the environment is conducive, there must also be a favorable consideration of our needs, because as a sector, we are likely to be the one sector that would be able to come back quicker when the environment allows people are able to move and so on, then we are able to then go back into business, as opposed to in other sectors where there may have to be quite a number of other aspects that have to be done before some of those things actually materialize. Of course, there was also an understanding that on the part of the department, some of the EPWP projects at that time, when we had a hard lockdown, it was not, even in some of the states, it was not feasible to undertake some of the construction related in particular work in this regard. But these are all the projects that we are now going to be going back into enforcing. And we obviously have made our submissions and our needs known to Treasury, and as the process unfolds in terms of how they deal with the budget, they will look at that. 12, the Tourism Relief Fund, we have given the details with regards to the criteria previously. We received 7,288 applications. Of those applications, we only unfortunately had enough money to support 4,000, of which we did support 4,000. We have published the information about who has or has not received. Who has received, obviously we cannot publish who has not received, because those are they did not benefit anything from the department. And of course the limitation more than anything else was money, and there is still a lot of businesses that are in need, but unfortunately we were not able to support beyond that. Slide 13 highlights the places, Honorable Chairperson. The places, we've got Dorpies here, we've got villages, there's townships across the entire landscape, from all the provinces, and that we thought we should share to just demonstrate the footprint of our of the scheme. The tourist guides relief on slide 14, we have received information from all the provinces. They are the ones that register the tourist guides. The conditions here were two. One, the person must be a freelancer, and the second one is that the person must be a registered tourist guide. Freelancers, in the main, we were saying that the only way to be able to see that is that UIF registration would then give us that particular indication. So in the verification, you will see when we go to slide 15 that it suggests that the number of people that we've got as tourist guides versus the number of people who are receiving payments. Those payments are for a period of 3 months at 1,500. It comes to about 47%. So some of the people are on UIF, which is a good thing, because it then says that these are people that are actually employed. But some of the lessons from that was that the continuous updating of records from the side of provinces is a very critical aspect with regards to the information of the tourist guides, including their contact details and all those other aspects that are part of this. So we have 4,415 tourist guides that, as we speak, the people that are actually receiving that particular payment across the different provinces, as the spreadsheet suggests. Slide 16 essentially tells us about the in the main the principle of contained in our recovery plan and what reopening would look like, what would guide it. And in all the work that we've done with regards to the reopening, we are guided by the evidence-based epidemiological fact that it's not a time-bound issue. It's based on what is the state of the in the country at a particular point in time. So that question has been from time to time been asked, and we have never really specifically had a date and said it must be this date or that date. Of course, we would wish for that, but the reality has always been that it will depend on what is the current state of the disease in the country. Slide 17 it just highlights the types of the different interventions, the proactive interventions in the shortest period, and also the managed reopening. We are actually in that phase now. And then the main growth interventions when we know that everything is actually in place and we are able to move forward. We have highlighted here, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, the 10 areas in the recovery plan in terms of what exactly will this be focusing on. So there is an issue about industry and government partnership for recovery. And that includes, amongst other things, how do we re-enter the market? It includes, amongst other things, how do we ensure things like compliance is taking place and so on without us compromising the sector becoming a sector that is linked to a potential second phase or those types of undesirable occurrences. The second area is to protect tourism supply. Now, as government, from this point of view, there are two interventions. The first intervention relates to the 200 billion rand scheme that was put by National Treasury. And we are aware that there has been a number of issues raised around that scheme, and the colleagues indicate that they are working on these things in terms of making sure that there's greater accessibility and so on. One of the recent additions to it was to bring in an element of allowing for funding towards operations, which was not part of it initially. But more of that improvement actually needs to take place so that there can then be direct access by the businesses in the sector. And indeed, the second one would then be the properties that belong to government, largely the attractions and the maintenance program that we are doing in this regard. Of course, it's subject to resources. We don't have as much resources, but with that which we've got, we are intervening in that regard to make sure that we don't actually have a state of collapse of those facilities. Biosafety protocols, there have been reports even from private sector to parliament to say protocols have been developed, and these protocols are aligned with the WTGC protocols. They are also received a stamp of approval in that regard. The department will be working here on a common standard. The purpose of that is we are aware that the standards, the protocols as they are, they may be things that really are not necessarily easily accessible by much smaller businesses, and those should still be required to adhere to very minimum standards, but that prevent spread of the virus going forward. So that would be at the center of that. But we do encourage that those that are able to implement the WTTC's type protocols should be able to do that. The issues of air access and connectivity, this will be a much larger area of work. together with the Department of Transport and other entities involved with regards to matters of aviation. At the core of it is to be able to win a fair share of our own capacity to the destination. There will be huge competition for that when things go back to normal, because people will be rebuilding markets and so on. So in this instance, there's also a need to actually work together with the various airlines that really have got keen interest in this particular market. But they will also be led by the Department of Transport as the custodian of this particular area of work. And then the facilitation of ease of travel, we will continue to work on the issues around safety of tourists. We'll continue to work around the issues of implementation of the e-visas and issues around the tour operators licensing and so on. So all of these issues would be, will give them a dedicated focus so that we are able to actually bring back ourselves fully into full operation. The domestic tourism demand catalyzed. The minister has already given a picture of the activities already taking place here. And I think this is like really, really currently taking full speed. And there is really visible demand that needs to be strengthened. We saw some very good results last year, but we believe that this is the backbone of the industry, and we really need to continue to strengthen it. MISA has been championing this really across the country, and we'll continue to do that. So this is an area that we believe we are really going to benefit from. But what it takes is that all of us have to take a trip. If we don't do that, then at the end of the day, we expect somebody else to. But all of us really have got to actually get into this. It could be here, it could be somewhere next to where one lives, it could be further than that, depending on what one affords, that should actually be the kind of guide. The targeted marketing globally, obviously now that we have reopened, activities will then be taking place in the marketplace with trade. Activities would also be taking place, as Minister indicated, in those markets that we have not necessarily played in as significantly. So that will then be revitalized. And then invest and investment in the market entry. Here, Honorable Chairperson, one of the things that as we revised the APP, we highlighted that the environment was not as conducive. It was the Tourism Equity Fund. At that time, yes, the environment was not as conducive, but subsequently, there has been indications from markets that say, yes, there is an opportunity. And there are investors, including institutional investors, that are interested even in this particular kind of environment. And some actually see the environment as the right time for them to actually come in. So that's going to be strengthened. There will be a lot more effort in that regard. And then the regional value proposition. SADC has got a tourism strategy. It's got different elements. But at the core of it is, one, there's an element of this destination being kind of a regional destination. And also there are aspects of movement between the countries. And ultimately, there's an issue with regards to the SADC, how do I put it, the issues around the transfrontier conservation area, the joint products, if one could put it like that, that's the direct joint activity, whether it's between South Africa, Mozambique, and Zimbabwe, or whether it's Botswana, Zimbabwe, and South Africa, and Namibia, those kinds of environments. And in terms of the structural mechanisms, really at the core of it is to make sure that whatever we are doing, we are able to it's aligned across the spheres of government, and it's also done in collaboration with industry, but industry too needs to also have a sense of footprint at localities, so that when we are saying that this local government is an engagement on this and that, it's not almost like a corporate level engagement where somebody comes here but does not necessarily reside within that locality and knows what exactly is happening within that particular locality. So that really covers the essence of the recovery plan. In terms of the performance of the organization now for the first quarter of 2020-2021, on slide 21, we were able to achieve 76% of the targets, that is 48 targets out of 63 targets. We were unfortunately not able to achieve about 12% of those targets, and 11% of the targets, there was very good work in progress in that regard. I'm going to stop here, Honorable Chairperson, and I'm going to hand over to DDG Manan. Keep that from slide 25. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DT, Minister, Deputy Minister, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. My presentation will focus on Programme 2, the performance overview for Programme 2 for Quarter 1. As DG indicated in slide 21, in terms of the achievement of the department, just to highlight the achievement of Program 2 specific for Quarter 1. In Quarter 1, the program had 17 targets planned for, of which we managed to achieve 16. So achievement of 94% with one target that we were unfortunately not able to achieve, and I will also speak to the target in my presentation. Now moving to slide 25. Thanks, Paul. In terms of our first indicator, it speaks to the number of monitoring and evaluation reports produced. There we had 9 monitoring and evaluation reports that we planned to develop and release and produce during quarter one. One of them referred to our quarterly performance report, that is tourism quarterly performance report that we develop every month, that is available to the public. The second one speaks to the work that we will be doing in terms of the impact evaluation of COVID on the tourism sector. DG already mentioned in his presentation of the outcome of surveys that we already had in the field, and that this was the beginning of this work. Then we also developed a framework for, we are now on slide 26, thank you, a framework for the NTSS implement, that's our National Tourism Sector Strategy that we have. And every year we develop an implementation report, and during quarter one we developed the framework, and that was also done. Then on slide 27, that slide speaks to the monitoring report on the implementation of Tourism Relief Fund. And that is the one target that we were unfortunately not able to achieve. And I think we were over optimistic in terms of the processing of the application and payment of the Tourism Relief Fund to tourism enterprises. And by the end of quarter one, that project wasn't rolled out completely yet, and we were not able to finalize our monitoring report just because the implementation was slightly delayed. We are confident that we will catch up on those on that target in quarter two. Then on slide 28, every year we develop a state of tourism report, and it is a parallel process. We finalize the drafting of one, and we start with the drafting of the next year's due to the availability of data. We've realized that it's the most effective way to in 1 year finalize one report and start with the next year's report. And for in this quarter, we drafted the 2018-19 State of Tourism report was available, and we also started with the 1920 report. So those targets were also achieved. Moving to our next target that speaks about the systems that we develop for tourism analytics. There we are planning to develop a national tourism analytics system framework this year. And in the first quarter, we had to develop a terms of reference for the development of this framework, and that was achieved. Then moving to slide number 29 and our third output indicator that speaks to the number of initiatives that we implement to create an enabling policy and regulatory environment for tourism growth and development. We are planning three initiatives for this year. The first one speaks to the policy review on the quality assurance framework that we are doing during this year. And in the first quarter, we did a review and a benchmarking of our policy options. That was our target, and that was achieved. In the second target was around a consultation on the National Tourism Information and Monitoring System regulations, and that was also achieved. Moving to slide 30, that speaks to the third initiative, and that is the draft review of the development and promotion of tourism in South Africa. That is our review on the white paper. We had two targets in quarter one, and both of those targets were achieved. Moving to slide number 31, that speaks to the initiatives that we plan to undertake to advance South Africa's tourism priorities within multilateral fora. We have four initiatives as our annual target. Specific to quarter one was our deliverables that we had to submit to the first meeting of the Indian Ocean Rim Association core group on tourism in terms of the work plan that was developed, and the meeting took place in August, if I remember well. And then on the last slide for program two, slide number 32, and our fifth output indicator speaks to regional integration. I think it also links to what DG said about one of the action items of the recovery plan. We are planning two initiatives. The one speaks to the annual sharing of best practices workshop that we have. Our first quarterly target was around a concept document for this year's best practice workshop, and that was achieved. And then what we do is, on a quarterly basis, we provide a report on the status of our bilateral relations that we have, the MOUs that we signed, and that was also achieved. And then the last target, and Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, speaks to the role that we fulfill as regarding oversight of our public entity. And we develop a quarterly oversight report, and that was also achieved. Thank you very much. I'm handing over to Dirijita Chetia for Program 3. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Minister, DM, DG and colleagues. The slides for destination development are contained on slides 34 to 38. We had 9 targets, and just to remind Honourable Members, this program deals with physical places and spaces, and so when we revise our APP, we have to think very carefully about the targets we've put into the APP due at that stage to the condition of lockdown and the advancement of the virus. Of the 9 targets, we have achieved all of them in quarter 1, so it's 100% achievement. Slide 34 is to coordinate with various departments on the one plan for the pilot regions of OR Tambo, Waterberg, and Etigwini. And we had a workshop with various members of different teams to look at the one plan on the 9th of March. If we go to slide 35, this talks to the work that we're doing with the Dinosaur Interpretation Center in the Free State. And the work that was done here was really a virtual project management meeting, because construction had to be halted on the site. I'm pleased to say that construction has since commenced. Similarly, the work with the maintenance program was really working with Sand Parks to look at how we could commence the program when it was possible to do so. With Marikela, which is in Limpopo, Addo, which is in the Eastern Cape, and the Karoo National Park, which is in the Western Cape. It was a virtual meeting that we did with Sand Parks related to this, but the work similarly has commenced on the maintenance program in our national parks. Although we report on these 3 parks, the work is actually broader than that. Slide 36 then speaks to the draft project concepts that we're working on in 5 community-based projects. Numbi Gate, of course, is in Mpumalanga, Nantoni, Shatkova, Mtiti, and Mapate are all in the Limpopo province. And in the quarter under review, we completed desktop research on these 5 projects. Slide 37 talks to the work that we are doing on product enhancement at local museums. And the museums that we're working on is Anton Lembede in KZN, the McGregor Museum in the Northern Cape, Amahlubi, which is in KZN, the Salt Lake Museum, which is actually in the Northern Cape, but part of the collection is in the Mafeking Museum in the Northwest, and the Lehurutse Liberation Heritage Museum, which is rather a route actually than a museum, which is in the Northwest. In the quarter under the review, we actually completed desktop research, stakeholder discussions, and produced a quarterly progress report. Slide 38 then is our last target, which speaks to the work opportunities. Honourable Members will recall that we did not put in any targets for quarters 1 and 2. related to the work opportunities, because we, at the point in time when we revised our APP, were not able to predict when we would be able to recommence the program. I'm pleased to say that most of our programs have recommenced in the second quarter, and in fact towards the end of the first quarter. Although we did not have a target, we continued to pay all of the participants in the EPWP program for the months of April and for May. And the program did begin to actually commence with work in June. That's the last target. I would like to now hand over to my counterpart in the Tourism Sector Support Services Program. Over to you, Acting DDG Sitwab.
Thank you, DDG. Morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Morning, Minister and Deputy Minister. The Program 4, Tourism Support, Sector Support and Services, had 20 targets for this, for quarter one. 9 were achieved. Significant work that has been done, and 7 of our targets that we had planned for were not achieved. With the 5 minutes that I'm being given, I'm going to speak a lot and only talk to the 7 targets that we were not able to achieve. General perception, generally, areas of non-achievement are based on the fact that quarter one was set aside for planning, mainly the crafting of concepts for the programs that we are intending to implement, and also development of terms of reference for those that we will be going out on tender to procure services of implementers. And unfortunately, these are areas where we had not done well. Most of the reasons for not achieving are based on the fact that there were delays in terms of the planning instruments that I had alluded to. We can quickly go to slide 40, where I will report that the initiative for us to stimulate domestic tourism, which is the implementation of the domestic tourism scheme, was not achieved. We were to formalize agreements for implementation of the scheme. We were not able to achieve that, mainly because the concept document came up with a catch-up plan for implementation that will counteract the implications of COVID-19 to the implementation of the incubation program. The concept in terms of the question plan was done, but at the close of the first quarter, the SLAs have not been formalized, meaning we had not signed on the dotted line from the department side and also from the implementing agent that we had procured to run the incubation programs. The incubation program with the Technology Innovation Agency, there were some protracted negotiations with the agency, and as at the end of quarter one, the department was the only party that had signed, and TIA was also to sign. I'm pleased to report that it has since been signed, so we are ready to kickstart with the incubation for technology. The tour operator one, there were some delays there in terms of the tender processes. We had fortunately for now been able to ask for expression of interest for tour operators that are intending to participate in the incubation. We are catching up slowly, but as at the close of the period that we are reporting on, the deliverables have not been achieved. The youth one, which is on page 46, initiative to support SLMEs. As I've mentioned, the same reason there was also that though we had targeted to this deliverable, the concept document also took long to finalize.
On slide 47 and 48, these are the initiatives
that we had intended to undertake for us to support transformation. The first one relates to women in tourism, the launching of the Women in Tourism program, and the second one, increasing the participation of women in the industry. We were not able to achieve these two, which are on page 47 and 48.
The
launch could not happen. The second one is that the selection of women in the 9 provinces dependent on identifying partners. As I've said, the plan was there, but then in terms of the implementation to identify partners, that had the effect to delay the achievement of the target. On slide 56, which relates to a capacity building program, the ones that we are skipping now are the ones that we have achieved, Honorable Chair. I'm referring to slide 56, wherein we are reporting on the capacity building program for food quality assurance program. At the close of the last financial period, we had done all the procurement processes, but unfortunately, we couldn't finalize the appointment because the service provider that we had to go and do some site inspection couldn't meet some of the specifications. So in the first quarter, we needed to go back and prepare and kickstart the process of procurement. That delayed. We were not able to finalize it in the first quarter. We are catching up in the second quarter in terms of fast tracking our procurement processes. My last slide, Chairperson, will be on slide 48, which talks to the appointment of a service provider to implement the tourism environmental implementation plan. This is a requirement in terms of NEMA, the environmental legislation. We have been identified as a department whose activities may have an impact on the environment. The plan was to develop the concept and also to have terms of reference for the appointment of a service provider. There were delays there. At Chairperson, we were not able to fast track the development of the concept document and the terms of reference. As I have said, Chairperson is mainly in terms of putting into action, the activities that we have planned, especially being able to conceptualize our programs and also develop terms of reference. We are putting a lot of emphasis in terms of making sure that we are able to catch up, and so far so good. There's indications that whatever that we have lost at quarter one, we are able to regain. Thank you, Chairperson. That will be the end of my presentation for program 4.
Honorable Chairperson, I will deal with program 1. Mainly I will highlight the things that we were not able to achieve. Suffice to say that the majority of the things that were planned were achieved, with the exception of only 3 targets. The vacancy rate, we have achieved that. It was 9.6%. Let's move on. This is the area, Honorable Chairperson, that we still have not been able to get to 50%. This is the percentage of women representation at SMS level. The current percentage, we are at about 45.7%. I need to indicate that it is during this period that we had DDG, Chief Director, Director, all women that that have left the department, and that's on its own with the numbers that we're talking about in SMS level already takes us closer to that 50%. But we do have a number of vacancies that are in the process of actually being filled. Of course, it would as well be dependent on the resources going forward, because with the compensation limits in terms of the ceiling on compensation of employees with regards to the requirements from Treasury side, that on its own would somewhat be a factor. But we are very mindful of the target that we've got, and in all the processes that we are taking, we are also taking that into account. The number of people or percentage of people that of persons with disability in the department, our target is 3%. During that quarter, we were at 4.5%. The target that obviously, as more people come into the department, depending on whether they are people with disability or not, it moves up and down. But we do believe that we will still be able to stay within our target of 3% adequately. Let's move on. In terms of the workplace skills plan, we have implemented that pre-entry course. We are implementing that. There is a new requirement in public service, Honorable Chairperson, government, that before a person enters management in public service, there is a compulsory course that must be completed through the School of Governance, which orientates the people towards public service. Even those that are within public service, they've got to go through it. If they are intending to progress within the service and apply for other jobs in that regard. The audit, the internal audit plan, is the implementation there is on track. We are progressing well. Slide 64. The implementation of the annual communications plan and the strategy. The one variant here is we are developing a framework for events, and that particular framework during the COVID period, there was a need for us to look at, relook at it, if I could put it that way, so that we are able to ensure that it is able to cover that type of environment and how such would then be handled in a different type of environment. That work is still going through consultation, so it's actually going to be ticked as successful in quarter three, early part of quarter three. It's actually ready now, but it was only concluded during this particular period. Let's move on. We can move on. Here we just want to also highlight that we adhere to the requirements for procuring from the client service providers, but also this designation of 30% by National Treasury in terms of procurement from SMMEs. In that quarter, we were at 39.77%. And then we believe that that one we could actually do more. And indications are that as we go back into infrastructure work and so on, we will still be able to get these numbers a bit higher. The other important reports that should be highlighted is that we pay all our suppliers within time. Most importantly, municipal services and so on, we pay that within the minimum required period of 30 days. But the CFO can tell you most of our invoices are actually paid way under 10 days. The last area that we were not necessarily able to move on to the next slide. Thank you. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, we do receive requests from employees. It's done across government who would apply to say, I would like to do some other remunerative work. These are my reasons and so on. That gets to be considered. The designated authority then looks at it to be able to see whether this is something that could be considered or not. But those matters are also considered by the Risk Management Committee in terms of the risk such faces poses to the organization. And such risks are not necessarily just based on potential for conflict of interest, but also the impact such could have on the work of the department that person is entrusted with, whether the person would end up making use of the department's time in that and so on. So we were not able to get the RMC to look at those things because of the kind of environment that we were in at that time. But subsequently, those are things that were then sent to the RMC to consider. let's move on. The disclosure forms, in terms of disclosure of financial interest, these were done. And in cases where there were delays and so on, the subsequent penalties were applied. And in cases where we needed to get extensions and so on, those were done and so on. So all of that was actually done within the period. Let's move on. This is just our demographics as it stands. One of the things that perhaps I need to, still say the same things. I think I will hand over at this point to the CFO.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Chairperson, members, Minister, Deputy Minister, and other colleagues. On slide 74 is our financial information. You will see that our budget was still 2.4 billion because the special adjustment budget only went through in July. And the billion rand that we returned to the revenue fund was then removed from our budget. From the department side, of that billion rand, 134 million rand was from the department, and 866 million from SA Tourism, our last payment. You will see our spending on administration was at 2%. Tourism policy and research was on 11%, destination development also 11%, and then tourism sector support services was at 18%. The main reason for our underspending on the first two programs was basically due to the lockdown. Specifically, if you think of our travel and subsistence and accommodation budgets, and then on destination development, our EPWP projects, I think it was also indicated by the DDG, and then on our tourism support sector, our TIP projects. If you look at the next slide, 75, it just gives you a breakdown of the economic classifications. You will see that under households, there was an expenditure of 30,270 rand. The reason for that was the money that we shifted for the tourist guides, that we paid that money into a separate account to then reimburse the tourist guides. And that money has to then be, or will be then shifted in the adjustment budget. Chair, thank you very much. I think that is it from the finances.
Osman Moloko, do you want to amplify anything? Or the Deputy Minister?
From my side, Chair, nothing. I'm fine.
Dear, no, I'm fine, Chair, on my side.
Okay, we will start with Honorable Gumbi to interact with the report. Thank you very much for the presentation, HOD, and the rest of the team. And I'm happy that you are vigilant enough to take over when there were challenges relating to the presentation due to network. Ndade Gumbi. Honorable Gumbi, are you there?
Yes, I am. Sorry. I'm just trying to... I couldn't find my meeting.
No problem.
Thank you very much for that presentation. I only have two questions, which are directed for the minister, though, and not the officials. The first question is that, so on slide 7, survey 2 shows, so it's basically the survey shows some serious damage to businesses. And for me, the key question is, as we move into the peak, as we move into the peak season for tourism and for travel, are the current restrictions according to the minister appropriate? So for instance, there obviously is a list of countries which are banned, which we classify as high risk countries. And yet at the same time, we require a test for people to enter the country. And so even if a test comes back negative, if you're on a banned country list, you're banned ultimately. And is that appropriate? And are we not killing the supply for the tourism sector? So we say it's resilient. Are we not killing that supply? So that's the first question. The second question is that on slide 18, for instance, there's a number of interventions which we want to do. So for instance, point 4 talks about the air access and connectivity team. Point 5 speaks about facilitating ease of travel. But if you're going to set up a team, for instance, an air access and connectivity team, how do these committees become effective when the NCCC, the Command Council or Cabinet, will ultimately take a hard decision around which countries can or can't travel? So in effect, you have that committee which has no real effect in being able to assist the tourism sector. So those are my two questions, and they just directed to the minister. Thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Gumbi. Honorable Moteka.
shut chest. I don't know when I got closed off.
Were you not done?
Did you? I see that my connectivity. I'm not sure where I stopped off at, where I ended.
No, we had you until from beginning to end. You were very clear, audible.
Sure. Okay. Thanks.
And we can see your specs. Honorable Mateka.
Thank you very much, Chair. Dumelanga kaofe lagandlunga mu. The Chairperson, I've got about two questions and one comment. The first one is pertaining the survey that was done in June, and I believe and I think it must be done again around November, so that we can see if those businesses which were struggling during that time have money to come back and participate in the economy. And we can also measure during that time how much has the COVID affected the economy, and are we coming back or not? So that was just a comment and a request to the department. And then the second thing, Chairperson, I want to direct my question to the minister. Minister, as far as your report is concerned, it says for that 30 million tourist guides refunds, you have allocated 4,000 recipients to the recipients. I mean, to the 4,000 recipients. And are you sure it is really 4,000 grants that were allocated? The second question is.
My apologies, Chair. Which slide, Honorable Mudega, is it tourist guides or tourism relief fund?
For now, I'm talking about the tourist guides, the one of 30 million.
Okay, thanks.
Yes. So because your report says 4,000 recipients have been helped. So I want you to assure, is it really 100% 4,000 is done? And again, the second question is on the issue of 200 million tourist relief fund. Your report says all 200 million were spent. Can the minister reassure us that is indeed 200 million done or nothing is left? The minister, the reason I'm asking you to confirm these figures, I don't want that later on when we did AG's report and all that, we get different figures and then we get excuses. Instead of You and your delegation could have clarified everything now. Again, the other reason is because we all know what happened on the issue of PPE monies, what I call PPE corruption pandemic. So, can the minister also assure us that the tourist relief fund and the tourist guides fund was never affected by this corruption pandemic, which happened on the PPEs. Thanks very much. I'm done, Chairperson.
Honorable Mieni. Thanks, Honorable Monteka. Dr. Mieni. Okay, Dr. Mieni doesn't look like he's there. Dr. Stole. Honorable Sitole.
Thank you, Chairperson. How are you, my friend?
I'm like you. Proceed.
Actually, thank you very much for the presentation from the department and the minister. It actually is an eye-opener because we are coming from...
We must ask somebody to handle, to manage the dogs outside.
Okay. So now my first question is, during the lockdown, the department has been removed some of the initiative planned activities, among was training programs. So now I'm trying to check, have they now started to have a program of reinstating those programs of training, because I think the training is very crucial to the department, especially to local municipalities and the provinces. And the second one, Chairperson, I'm trying to check how many countries have now allowed to travel to South Africa because it can help us to understand the impact of the tourism that can come to South Africa, because we know that the tourism was very affected. And the other Chairperson, I'm worried about the department, because the department always target some programs, but they fail to achieve those growth programs, like the program one, which they targeted 17 programs, but they only achieved 14. So what I'm trying to check, how are they going to make us to understand? Are they going to achieve the three that it was not achieved? Or what are their plans now? And the other aspect that I'm trying to check is that the issues of compensation of employees, because it always indicates the understanding by the department. Now I'm trying to check, because of now we are now at level one, are they now trying to have a program that will deal with the understanding of staff and getting some more vacancies that should be filled? And the last one, Chairperson, that I'm trying to check, on the 1 billion budget adjustment, which was factored to quarter one performance, I'm trying to check, do they have any program on that one? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay. Thanks very much, Honorable Sitole. We will now allow Honorable Kalipa to ask questions. Dr. Kalipa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'd like to acknowledge the Minister and the Deputy Minister and the team led by the Director General. Chairperson, I don't have questions. I just two issues, which is we really need to accept, Chair, the good work that has been done by the minister on the roadshow. And I hope, Chair, this roadshow must also include our townships, Chairperson, and our rural areas, which is has been always our concern as a portfolio committee. Chairperson, that we must always support our small towns, our townships, and our rural areas. I will just urge that in that program, which is a good program led by the minister, must also include those areas. The another area where we also need to appreciate the work is on the support of small towns, which is in my area of the Free State. I see some tenants in Botterville and other areas which is they have been supported, Chairperson, by the department. The last issue, Chair, will be for the department to improve, Chairperson, the communication. Because if we can improve on the communication, Chairperson, in terms of making sure that as we are opening the economy, the minister is able that on a weekly basis, there are media briefings, which is must be done by the department. Because our people still have those areas where they are not sure whether we're already on level one, like the minister when she was reporting that people, they were not sure whether they can travel, whether they can start going to some of these areas. Once the minister, she has gone to those areas through the roadshow, and then our people begin to have confidence. So I'll just, Chairperson, request that we need to improve our communication. By large, Chairperson, I think the department has done a good work, and they must be supported to be able, Chairperson, that we open the economy, because if we don't open the economy, we'll have a crisis in our country, because all the reports that are coming where our people have lost more than 2 million jobs. So we really need, as we are respecting regulations, doing all the things which is we need to do, Chairperson, as part of making sure that we comply. But it's important that there must be a balance. As we save life, our people must also work, Chairperson. I'm happy with the in the manner which is the department has done their work, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Okay, Honorable Khalifa, thank you very much for the input. Honorable Gallo.
Yes,
Obama Gallo.
Take me.
Honorable Gallo. Okay, Obama Gallo, it looks like he's not on here. We will now go to our dearest honorable sister, Honorable Mpushe.
Thanks, Chairperson. Hello, Mr. Shofrovich. Thanks, Chairperson. I
I wish to welcome the presentation from that of the Honorable Minister. Oh, first, let me greet the Honorable Minister, Honorable Chair, Honorable Whip, and the Honorable Members, and the departmental officials. I wish to welcome the presentations, Chairperson, from that of the Honorable Minister to that of financials. Comrade, you...
There's somebody who has not muted the mic. Let me see who is that person.
It's Honorable Kromboko. I think it's Honorable Kromboko, Chairperson.
Yes, it's Honorable Kromboko.
He must mute.
Honorable Kromboko, can you mute?
Am I muted now?
You are not muted.
Proceed, Chairperson.
I just take it easy, my sister. We want Honorable Kromboko to mute. Okay. So just take your time and relax until Honorable Kromboko has adhered to the proceedings of the parliamentary committee. Thanks, Honorable Kromboko. You have now muted. Proceed, my dearest sister.
Thanks, Chairperson. I would like to applaud the work that has been done by the minister during the COVID-19 lockdown, Chairperson. Also, more specifically on the engagements that have been done with our provincial executives with the view of ensuring that the sector is repositioning the product that are not designed, and also to strengthen and ensure that there is monitoring, Chairperson. Also, Chairperson, on what was raised by the Honorable Minister on the challenges that are posed by the sister department, Chairperson, my question on that one, Honorable Chair, does that not then require that we have joint portfolio committee meetings so as to mitigate the risk which will be posed by the relaxation of COVID-19 regulation, and that we get a full comprehensive report on what measures will be undertaken to ensure that we do not end up as South Africa getting the high rate of infection due to the relaxation of the outside countries coming to South Africa. Also, Chairperson, on the presentations, I applaud the department on the unqualified audit report. Secondly, Chairperson, I think the department must improve on their performance in terms of ensuring that they prioritize women. It's just that I lost the slide now where there is this report on the performance on the issue. Also, I would like to applaud the percentage, the 4% target, which has been met in terms of people with disabilities, Chairperson, and the fact that the Department on Program 1 has achieved 100% on the payment of invoices, Chairperson. I think that one is to be commended, Honorable Chair. Thirdly, Chairperson, my question then is on the measures to be, I'm repeating that one in terms of the risk. Can the department provide the committee with the list of these properties that belong to government for oversight if it has not been done, as you would understand? And Chairperson, this is my first portfolio committee meeting. in dealing with the performance plans of the department, Chairperson. Also, Chairperson, I so wish that we get the list of the enterprises that have benefited from the COVID-19 recovery funds. And it should be stated if there are those that have not benefited due to criteria or their application have been turned down. Sorry for being haphazard, Chairperson.
Don't worry, take your time. Take your time, my sister. Take your time.
Yes, Chairperson.
You are not haphazard at all.
I think I will pause there, Chairperson.
All right. Okay, thank you very much.
I will pause there because I had a question, Chairperson. The reason that I'm pausing is that I had a question on the reasons where they have not met their targets, what were the reasons, but then it was responded to in that there were delays in the processing of applications for relief funds, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, our dear sister, Honorable Mpushe. Honorable Krambok, you can unmute now.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'm sorry about the previous interruption. I think I've got a dodgy button here, but hopefully it's working okay. I have two questions, Chairperson. The one is on the slide about the Tourism Relief Fund. I can remember the figures if it's not convenient to get to that slide immediately. But essentially, as I recall, there was just under 7,300 applications for that 50,000 Rand relief. And I was wondering what that 7,300 applications constituted as a percentage of all the tourism industries or enterprises in the country that might have been able to apply. So did we get, for example, 7,288, thanks for the slide, out of 15,000, which would have been around about 50%, or was it a very much higher uptake? How does that 7,288 relate to the number of enterprises that could have applied? That's the first question on the Tourism Relief Fund. Then I find the figures interesting. At the end of July, the report identifies that 4,000 approved applicants got their grant. And of those, 2,071 were Black-owned businesses, okay, in terms of the criteria set to the left of that. Now, if there were nearly 7,300 applications and 4,000 enterprises received some help, it meant that just under 3,300 were not successful. But we did have just under 2,000, let's call it 2,000 enterprises that were not Black-owned, that did in fact form part of the 4,000. So I'm just wondering how the department distinguished between the 2,000 odd enterprises that were not Black-owned, that nevertheless got the fund, and the 3,300 odd that were turned down. So can we just get some clarity on that? Because it seems as if there must have been much of the same kind of business. And I'm wondering on what basis did some people get and other people not, when the 2,000 enterprises that did get some help were not, as the report suggests, Black-owned anyway and therefore didn't qualify. So that's my first question. And then my second question would be, we seem to be within a month of getting some kind of COVID vaccine somewhere, whether it's the one from Britain or whether it's the Moderna one from America or others. I know Russia and China also pretty close to the end of phase three on the testing. So we are going to be faced with a situation quite soon, hopefully in the next month, where the vaccine will slowly become available. And I would imagine that government generally would prioritize health workers and then the most vulnerable people, presumably elderly people with comorbidities, to receive the vaccine first. We know that with the number of people in the world, we can't all get it simultaneously. But I was wondering whether the department, bearing in mind that this particular department and this particular sector of the economy has been the hardest hit of all, has there been any discussions between the Department of Tourism and national government as to how the vaccine might be rolled out once health workers and the most vulnerable people have been given the vaccine first? Is there any plan to help the most beleaguered industry, i.e. tourism, to strategically prioritize tourism in any way or not, bearing in mind that it's face-to-face type of work where social distancing is difficult in most types of tourism, not all, which is why you can open some of it, but in other parts of tourism, social distancing, particularly tour guides, is a challenge. So have there been any discussions about where it might be strategically rolled out within tourism on a prioritized basis, or has that time not yet come and it's too early to talk about? I'd be interested to see if the department is in that kind of discussion with government generally. So those are my two questions, Chair. Thank you, and apologize again for the unmuting. It wasn't supposed to happen. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Honorable Krambok. Don't worry. We've accepted your apology. We know it was not deliberate, and it will not be deliberate. I also realize that one of your preferred colors is green, which somehow refers to the wealth of the country. So, and wellness. So keep it up. Honorable Gomba.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Chair, I would like to firstly start by appreciating the presentation and greetings to everyone. Chair, my first question will be, will emanate from the presentation which was presented by the DG, page 18 of the presentation. That is talking to the measures to support South African tourism recovery, combination of supply and demand, as well as changes to enabling environment. So I wanted to say that he has also, let me say that before, he also actually put it into three phases. So those three phases are showing here on the presentation. So those 10 proposed, you're moving away from the page, which was, I think, yes. Now, Chair, yes, this page. My proposal is that this is a very good proposal, but I would love them to have the clear time frames as to when do they want to start and when do they want to end, and the cost to that effect, so that we can be able to also play our oversight role, as well as ensuring that we do the monitoring and evaluation according to the time frames that they will have put for them to implement this recovery plan. Because if we really allow presentations that don't have time frames, we will end up talking about them but not seeing the actual implementation, because there was no commitment in terms of the ending of the project. Chair, again, I would love to even if it's not part, it didn't form part of the presentation, but I think it forms part of the presentation, because the issue of unemployment during the time of COVID affected all the departments. So I think, Honorable Chair, what is important here is to find out if there are any plans from the department to ensure that all the tourism establishments, privately owned, are registering their employees with the unemployment insurance fund, because I want to ensure that I wish to ensure that everyone benefits from their UIF during the disaster. I also would like to understand how many of the UIF, how many of the establishments that were established through tourism or operating in tourism business managed to get the UIF fund so that they are able to pay their employees. And also, is there any plan from the department to ensure that South Africans benefit from job creation through tourism? You know, tourism should be a vehicle that actually drives the employment part of it in South Africa. But we see most of the establishments employing the foreign nationals and South Africans. Hence, my question is, how many of them managed to claim from the UIF so that they can pay their employees? Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Gumba. Honorable De Freitas.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair. Just a few questions on the presentation and then a few questions to the Minister, I presume, would be able to answer. The first is, in the presentation, it talks about, on Program 4, it talks about a whole lot of training, which we see about all the time. How is this measured against actual jobs obtained as a result of this training on various types of training and empowerment programs? So if we could, that could be just explained a little bit more. And how is it tracked? And also throughout this program, there were a lot of, out of the presentation, there was a lot said about how there were the delays. Now, I read through that and there were a lot of activities that could have been done without delay, irrespective of whether it was a lockdown or not. So I want to understand why there were these delays. It just says that there are delays, but what were the delays and why were there delays? Then I'm trying to understand the latest information as far as regulations and so forth is concerned, and I want to maybe ask the minister to explain. It talks about the latest regulation require, Honorable Gumbe covered it, touched it very briefly. The regulations require that every person entering the country has a COVID negative test, and that I can understand. What I don't understand is that you're required to be in quarantine as well. So I'm just trying to understand why this is the case. If you have a 72-hour or less test, surely that is negative. What is the reason for the quarantine? So that could be spoken about. And then in the latest regulations, they do talk about high, medium, and low-risk countries. So if you could perhaps explain to us what is the criteria that is used to ascertain whether a country is high, low, or medium risk. And I've tried to work out what the criteria is, like, for example, looking at new cases, for example, and or looking at deaths in countries and so forth, and none of them match this list. So for example, new cases, for example, Russia, the UK, and Mexico, particularly the UK, which is a high market for us, is on the red list, but yet Spain is not on the red list, but they've got more cases. Or for example, deaths where Italy is not on the red list, but and has more cases than Peru and France, which is on the red list. So I don't see any correlation. I've tried to work it out. So if she could just tell us what the criteria is to ascertain whether a country gets onto a red list. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable De Freitas. In that day, April. April. You look like April, Honorable Gumba. Okay. Honorable Makubela.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Allow me to greet the minister and the DM and the collective led by the departmental DG, Mr. Tarage, and honorable members led by yourself, Chairperson. I only have one comment or question to pose to the department, Chairperson. Given the fact that tourism or the economy is beginning to recover, and the government is talking about an economic recovery plan that will see South Africa move to a trajectory that will be fostering growth and ensuring that jobs we are creating jobs in the economy. The economy is one of the sectors, or tourism sector is one of the sectors that is easy to target and create jobs in that sector. I want to find out, because much of our budget, Honorable Minister and DG, was shifted to go and be utilized in the combating and fighting this pandemic. This left the department with very much little resources. So I want to understand that, how are we going to ensure that we work towards a recovery with no funds? Perhaps maybe if that can be explained into detail, to say what are the strategies, when are we seeing the much needed resources being channeled back to the tourism department, so that we do work on a recovery plan that is backed by resources to do so. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Makubela. Honorable members, thank you very much. Just before you respond, Minister and the Deputy Minister and the collective, I don't have much issues from my side. We've asked for the department at all times to come and account, and you have been doing so. Where you were not able to be present in our meeting, it has always been indicated why you are unable to make it to the meeting. That demonstrates the respect you have not only to the portfolio committee, but to Parliament and the Constitution of the Republic. Sadly, Minister, and your collective, as a portfolio committee since last year when we came in, we asked you to ensure that the tourism pendulum begins to tilt slowly towards villages, townships, and small dorpies. And we are very happy that the tourism pendulum is indeed gradually tilting towards the villages, the townships, and the small dorpies, because research has confirmed our assertion that poverty, inequality, and unemployment is more embedded and more stubborn in the villages, the townships, and the small dorpies. And therefore, the resources we have must be enable us to respond to where the challenges are more acute. We have asked you to respond to issues such as Hawick, where we have done oversight, Mpopumeni, and so on. We have the report. You have sent it to us. Honorable members have received the report. We are very happy about that, Honorable Minister and your team. Where there are weaknesses, you have not shied away, yourself and your team, to indicate where you think weaknesses were. And we have responded to those weaknesses. Where you think you did not achieve as you had intended, you have indicated in the last column of your presentation how the department is going to be going forward, responding to areas where you could not. You did not hide the truth from the portfolio committee on the reasons that may have led to you as a department not achieving some of the set objectives. So we are happy. That trajectory, in our view, will have to be maintained, consolidated, sustained, going forward, and by the time we arrive in 2024, the majority of our people in the tourism sector will be happy. I'm now handing over to you, Honorable Minister, and your team to provide succinct clarities and responses to some of the issues that have been raised by the Honorable Members. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I appreciate your feedback in terms of our work. We really appreciate the feedback because we can only do better when we get good feedback from you and members of Parliament in terms of our work. We do commit to continue that way where we do make mistakes for members to really reflect on that so that we can deal with them. Let me just start, which is quite simpler things, and then we'll come to others. And then the team will also, together with the CM, assist me in the process. The issue of enterprises, Honorable Mbushe, already on the website. So what we have done is that after we've paid the 4,000 beneficiaries, we published them on the website of the department for public scrutiny. So they've been on the website for anyone who wants to verify. We've had even questions. Media has interrogated the list, gone through it, and we are happy that we've not had any comeback out of all those lists. Verified as tourism sector people, verified as existing businesses, both by ourselves but also by the media that have been able to, and South Africans who've been able to go to our website and verify that. Honorable Kronborg, the issue of the vaccine is being discussed in cabinet, but I'm not the responsible minister to talk to it. When the time is right, Minister Mkhize will announce how government is going to, so you'll speak for the entire government, not only for me. So I would be out of order to be speaking on an area that is not delegated to me by the president, nor have I legislative responsibilities on it. So I will leave it into that. When the time is right, whatever, we will input, make our own input at the right platforms when we are needed to make those inputs. But at this point in time, I do not think it will be out of turn if I am to speak on the matter. And I think DG will go into, together with the team, will go into the details in terms of your questions around the enterprises, explaining how it's there. I think they will be able to do that. I appreciate the feedback from other honorable members in terms of comments, improvement in what we need to do, suggestions that have been coming through. Honorable Ntika, I can confirm definitely that we have paid 4,000 beneficiaries. In terms of the interim report from the AG, I know that has been submitted previously in Parliament. There was indeed six companies initially that were paid late, but they have been paid. And the reason was because their accounts had a problem. So the banking details that they had submitted had a challenge when the process of payments were done, and the CFO can elaborate if there is any. So we can confirm in terms of the 4,000 beneficiaries that are on the website of the Department of Tourism that they have indeed been paid, they have been indeed verified, and they have indeed received their money. In terms of tourist guides, I think the CFO and DG will respond to that. Honorable Mojeka, just to indicate that indeed we have set aside money, and they will give you in terms of the actual figure that has been paid. Remember with this one, it was money that was set aside and we had said that we'll pay them in 3 months. So you would have a particular amount paid, almost up for around 14.5 already been spent, but the CFO and the DG can go into detail around those issues in terms of payments. In terms of the PPE scandal, our side as well as government decision broadly in terms of publishing what has been spent. So we have published the service providers that got any support or procurement process in terms of where we've purchased our PPE as the department together with SAT. That was submitted to the task team that the president had appointed, led by Minister of Justice. But also what we had done as the department, again, we published it, the list, the spending on our website. So that as well has been confirmed. And I was assured by the accounting officer, both in the department, but also at SAT, that these individuals or companies
were actually on the central database by National Treasury. So not anyone was just picked up from anywhere to be given the PPE. And that's why as the department so far, there's not been issues around any corruption allegation that relates to PPE in our department and as well as in the entity. The issue, Honorable Sithole, in terms of countries, and this I will link. If you look, for example, we have inbound and outbound markets. For South Africans, mainly you know that many would like to travel. Routes such as Hong Kong is critical for those going, either they go to Guangzhou to purchase things or they are traveling somewhere. Thailand as well, many South Africans like to go to Thailand for their holidays and whatever. This too, and Israel as well, is one of the key ones where you have groups of churches who go to Israel. Just indicating this three, they have put restrictions for all countries. So whether you are a South African living here, going to those countries as a travel, remember that we do have people in the country who are in the tourism sector who organizes this tours, and they are getting sources of income out of this. So they are not able to do those things because those countries themselves have put restrictions against South Africa. India, similarly, not only in South Africa, but you'd see them as appearing as all countries restricted. So you'll have to pay attention to that. So a country will say no one is allowed to come in, like we have done during hard lockdown. We'll say no one is allowed to come in except residents, meaning that we are included in that crew. You'd listen to, for example, in the past 2 weeks, what the Chancellor of Germany has been raising concerns around the travelers coming into Germany and potentially wanting to put certain restrictions. You follow what UK has done. You follow what this week, actually by Tuesday, if you look at France's action to wanting to impose full strict, I think it's coming into effect if it hasn't, because they announced that by Tuesday, I've not verified today, by Tuesday, for example, within Paris, the borders will be closed. So those are the things that affect us as well. So you do have those hardcore, I'm mentioning this market so that you can understand that we do an evaluation of those markets in terms of either it's inbound or outbound market. So there is work that is being done both by ourselves as the Department of Tourism, but also from a point of NetJoint that advises NCCC in terms of the work. So you note when you pay attention to those, that globally you'd have countries putting restrictions against us and either countries putting restrictions against everyone. So Germany, for example, they decided to say they're not going to do a blanket approach, but they will specify in different levels countries. That's why with us, we are on the list. We are not restricted for Germans to come to South Africa, but what we have against us is a warning that says, if you go to South Africa, you come back and isolate. So that's how you analyze the market and in order to understand what is happening. So the responses for both, just to clarify, Honorable De Freitas, you do not quarantine when you have a 72-hour PCR certificate or notification that you've got. As long as your test shows that you are negative, you pass through the screens and there's nothing, you don't quarantine. You come through, you enjoy your holiday, and that's it for the travelers. Including, and one of the things that you've got to understand, even in the classification, you have high-risk countries, but in those high-risk countries, there are people who are coming from those high-risk countries in terms of the issues of the people who are the diplomats, all those things, and there are specific protocols for those. But in terms of a person who comes in from the countries that are allowed to come in are not quarantining at all. So I think there was a misunderstanding there, Honorable Member. Then the issue, let me come to the issue of Honorable Kumbi says, what is my view in terms of the list that has been issuing, the restriction, if the restrictions are appropriate. And I think the first thing one has to say is that as South Africa, which I'm part of, South African government, which I'm part of that leadership, I sit in the NCCC, I sit in cabinet as a member. Now, what we have taken a decision is that we will follow a risk-adjusted strategy. what risk-adjusted strategies that will introduce measures of opening up slowly to check on the impact, but also we'll have to continue to do balancing of the health and the livelihood. So it shouldn't be that we also only focus at a particular point, we only focus on livelihood. And that's why I was explaining that if from our analysis as tourism is that while we have gained so much traction in terms of our work, we've made so much progress and huge milestone in getting the tourism sector to come back to life. What will be a tragedy for us is to have the resurgence of the pandemic. That will be very, very tragic because we do believe that that will have even huge harm to us as a country. That's why it's important, and that's why we support the risk-adjusted strategy to balancing the livelihoods together with life. So in terms of the work that is being done, yes, because we have opened the first, and we said we'll observe after 2 weeks how the impact is, what are the lessons learned, what are the issues that we should be able to respond. And actually, if I may say, even by weekend after opening, I went by last week as we opened the first day, I went to the site to see for myself if there are any issues, pick up so that one can have notes of those, so that when you go into the discussions, you are able to speak from an informed position, from practical steps, what has happened and all those things. For example, one of the travelers when I was at the airport arrived, had a negative test, but the traveler had high temperature. So they had to take one traveler out of that flight to put them aside to go and process. So you would have to remember that even in terms of this issue, that you'd have somebody who says, I do not have it, or who has the pandemic but is asymptomatic. We are alive to those issues. That's why we cannot make unreasonable demands as tourism. And from our side, we said we'll allow the decision. We are part of the decision. We agree with the decision that will open for certain categories of countries. We'll analyze how the impact is. And we noted, that's why even in the media I've said, if you look at our key source markets, it's only Germany that is allowed. We'll utilize Germany as an example to make lessons learned out of the process, see where there are hurdles, see where there are issues. That's why we could pick up the issues around the visa, free entry visa countries that were affected. We were able to raise it with Minister Mutualidi, who assisted. That's why the issues of the cruise that happened, I was able to talk to the guys at even Emirates directly myself, call them, understand exactly what is the issue, where are the challenges, and then we can take it up from there and then be able to interact with Minister of Transport to say, this is the feedback and all that. And every minister is interacting with them. We continuously have these meetings weekly. And out of those meetings, then one is able to say from practically from the ground, this is the feedback that we are getting. This is what is working. This is what is not working. We should be able to remember, colleagues, members, honorable members, that this pandemic, we've not known about it. So quite a lot of things, what you see, would be out of what we have learned, what other countries have done. But secondly, how we have approached the opening is based on the advisory by WHO. Please go to WHO website. They have a guideline of opening of international travel. That was the basis of the decision by NCCC. So we use that. It's our advice. We are utilizing it to be able to consideration. So one of the things that I needed to respond to, honorable members, is that one. Whether we agree with it or not is another thing. In terms of as members of parliament, but at least we are explaining how it's done. If there is feedback that honorable members would like to give us based on their interaction with stakeholders, based on their interaction with the people who are affected within the crowd, whether internal, I think, Chair, this time that we're managing a very delicate situation. We are not yet, have not gotten out of the woods in terms of the pandemic. We do not have a situation whereby indeed the vaccine is available to guarantee that we are not going to lose lives. We continue to lose lives every day, and therefore all of us have to be responsible that it shouldn't be, because one life is one too many, because it could be my own family or your own family. So it shouldn't be that we underplay the impact of the pandemic on lives of ordinary South Africans and all of us. We still have to make sure that we protect the lives and while dealing with the pandemic, but also ensuring that we preserve the livelihoods and save jobs. And I do believe that government has very much interest in terms of ensuring that we can be able to save the livelihoods. So, Chairperson, I will allow the DM, together with the team, DGN team, to take up other issues that I did not take up. I think I've been able to respond to what I do believe that it's things that would affect, will need me to really respond to directly. Thank you very much.
Dadatara,
can I come in, Chair? Thank you very much, Chair, and let's welcome the questions, comments, and input by members on the work that we have presented as a department. So just before the DG comes in, let me just clarify one or two things. On the social relief, the issue that Honorable Kromberg was raising, to say that it doesn't necessarily mean that the 3,000 odds that did not receive the social relief are all white-owned companies. It doesn't mean that. The 3,000 odd companies disqualified because of other issues, not because of race or color. We need to clarify that issue so that we don't create an impression that all those 3,000 that didn't receive the relief were white companies. No, they were not. And those that received a support who were not necessarily who were not 100% black owned, it does not necessarily also mean that they were 100% black owned as well. So the whole system it's not in the manner that Honorable Kromberg is interpreting. That is racial based. It is not racial based. It's based on the black economic empowerment policy equity, which then balances all the races without looking at a particular color. And that's where we need to clarify. And then the other comment I want to make is around the issue of the comment that was made by Honorable Kalipi to assure Honorable Kalib and members that we are focusing on rural and township tourism. As Honorable members might be aware, last month we were in the tourism month, and the theme of the month was tourism and rural development. We launched the tourism month in the rural areas in Cullinan. We even did activations in the Refilwe Township, where we're able to even launch a frame that will be used for films and soaps as well, which will then equally in return benefit the township of Refilwe in Tshwane in Cullinan. So those are some of the things that we are doing. So there's a lot of work that is being done around townships and rural development. When I was in Northern Cape, we did activation in some of the townships, tourist attractions in the townships there in one of the municipalities around Northern Cape.
So it's a matter that is paying special focus and attention on the part of the department in relation to what the committee always emphasizes, that we need to make sure that we don't neglect the villages and the townships economy and tourism economy at the end. So that's what I wanted to raise. And the DG will come in and give me the rest that are more technical and more details. Thanks.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks very much, Brafis, Honorable Deputy Minister, for the addition. And that's Sarahe, Kintalaro.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, and thanks to the Minister and the Deputy Minister. I will take some and then I will direct some to the colleagues. The reported figure with regards to tourism related businesses, employees that benefited from UIF overall, is in the region of 600,000. So that's the kind of cushion that if we would, government has actually been able to support the sector to stay afloat from a point of view of employment. The second issue, supporting the remarks from the Deputy Minister regarding the issue of what is a black-owned business. In terms of the BBB codes for tourism, we have, and in relation to this particular scheme, this scheme was targeting businesses that have got a turnover of not more than 5 million rands. One. But in terms of the BEE levels, it was targeting from level 1 to level 4. Level 1 is 100% black-owned business. Level 2 is about 51% black-owned. Level 3 normally would be a business that does not have a black owner in terms of demographics, happens to have gone through all the issues that are in the scorecard for the codes. So it would be doing issues around supply development, it would be doing all the other elements that are actually included, and it would have verified. So we've got some businesses that are actually in that category. Level 4 is a business that has not necessarily gone through that verification. It's not necessarily owned by a black person, but happens to have the affidavit that demonstrates that this is the level where it reaches. It doesn't get beyond the 5 million mark. So that's how the categorization is. So when you look at the different beneficiaries, those beneficiaries would include businesses that have got 100% black ownership, some that are level 2, which will be the 51% black ownership, and others that would be not having black ownership per se. There are businesses, some who did not qualify because they are outside the threshold altogether. So they are not within the 5 million. And there are those businesses that did not qualify because they were not in the business of tourism and all those kinds of things, or even tourism related. So those were the kinds of things. And we processed all of them, and we were able to then end up with the ones that got. So it's a question of if you qualify, as I have actually explained, then you will be able to get in. But of course, there will be those that unfortunately at the end, the money is finished. There's nothing that can be done. So you will find some even in the pool of the ones within the 3,000 odd. That's if we still had money, they would receive. But unfortunately, they were not able to receive such because they were not going to be. We did not have any more money to provide. So when you apply, we issue you with a reference number. We call it a TRS number. That number is what we track you with throughout. When you've got outstanding documentation and so on, and we need to liaise with you, that's what we use. And then that gets to be loaded onto the system so that we're able to track these things through and through. And we're able then to do that. So as people come in, we process. And that's how we actually ended up with this. How many businesses, more or less, would we have been talking about? I leave that question to DDG Malan. I know they are still busy dealing with the proper survey in terms of all these business centers, so to say, in terms of these businesses, the data collection. But previously, there was a number in the region of 30,000 that were business, small businesses in that category that would have been types of businesses we are targeting. But that's not really an official figure. We will be able to specify such figures properly when we've got more details coming from the project that the team and TDG Malana is still running, but she will be able to provide a little more detail in that regard. The other area, I think it's a difficult one. Honorable Mokbela indicated that without resources, it's going to be hard. That is true. One of the things that we are emphasizing on is the essence of partnerships. So where we can leverage partnerships, including within government, where we can innovate, particularly the use of technology and so on, those will be some of the ways of trying to improvise. But of course, for us to really make a real dent in the market, we're going to need resources. It's something that is understood broadly within government, that there is a need to support tourism. But of course, we are as good as what the fiscals would be. And we will have to make sure that we maximize on what we get, however little such resources may be, but we may have to maximize on that. The trainings that we conduct, program four, number of trainings, whether it's chefs, whether it's wine appreciation, whether it's hospitality, and so on. We actually, including the executive development program targeted at women, we have reported before, there has been very good absorption rates in terms of people ending up in the labor market. Some people, albeit a few, are also able to establish their own businesses. But at the end of the day, what is also more critical is that once a person has a skill, it improves the person's ability to confidently approach the labor market. So same principle that is applied, universities are producing graduates, universities of technologies are producing graduates, Tibet colleges are producing graduates, but the core difference with what we are doing is that there is a lot of on-the-job learning that takes place. So these partnerships with industry where these learners are able to, learnership type programs are able to allow for development of the skill and trait and so on. And when the people come out of there, that's why some of them are confident enough to actually start their own businesses. But there was a figure, I think it was in the region of 60-70% of absorption rate. Unfortunately for us, but fortunately probably for the individuals, some of them end up actually getting opportunities in places like US, in places like Dubai and so on. So it's been quite successful. Even the feedback that we get from people that have gone through the program themselves, you get humbled when you hear the stories of how people have actually come from their humble beginnings and become something. I think at some point there was somebody who was talking about having built a house for the parents and so on. I think it was a woman. So it's really making a real difference in the lives of the youth that are participating in this. The development, embedded development program, this we do, this is a partnership in the sense that we request industry to release these participants who are in the main people at entry level of management, junior managers and so on, so that they can then go through this particular program. There's been very good progress in that without specifying brands and particular establishments. There are a number of big hotels whose GMs are actually coming from this particular program, women that actually participated in this particular program and then got promoted subsequent to them having completed this particular program. So we believe that is something worth pursuing and we should continue with it as such. Again, I think DG Malan can speak about some of the surveys that they conduct. They do some monitoring of these programs to be able to see whether there are areas we need to improve and so on. So we do proper formal structured reviews of some of these things so that we're able to inform them going forward in terms of areas that might require some improvements. I will hand over to DG Malan to speak to these issues. I think the other issues are responded to by the minister and the deputy minister. I'll stop at that. Thank you.
Okay, Ndade Tharaleth. DG Malan, just be aware that you have 5 minutes. Because the remaining time we'll then have to on our own as a committee deal with some of our internal issues. I hope I'm not putting pressure on you. Bulk of the issues have already been dealt with by both the minister and the DM and Ndade Tharaleth. Otherwise, you've got 5 minutes, my sister.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I will be quick. I agree with you. I think many of the matters have been dealt with. As DG alluded to, we are doing a number of surveys, some of them as part of our M&E program, monitoring and evaluation program. And we work very closely with our sister departments, Home Affairs, StatsSA, the Reserve Bank and others in our statistical program to ensure that we align what we do in terms of concepts, definitions as guided by the UNWTO. But coming to the number of SMMEs, as DG specifically referred to, there was a survey that was done by Urban Econ BEE survey that indicated that there's around 32,000 SMMEs. Our indication is that there's a bit more before COVID, that it's around 40 to 45,000 SMMEs. But as DG said, we're currently busy with rolling out our data collectors project that I spoke to in previous committee meetings. We are restarting our program now that we are on level one, and we will have more verified figures once we have completed that project, especially noting the pandemic and as well as the impact that we know that it might have had on small and medium businesses. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, my sister. Ausramolobi, is there anything you and the Deputy Minister may want to amplify?
I'm comfortable, Chair. Thank you very much.
If you're in comfort, I'm in comfort. Dian?
No, I'm fine, Chair.
If you're fine, I'm fine, DM, and the rest of us as the collective. Okay. We take this opportunity to thank the minister, the deputy minister, the collective of the bureaucrats within the setup of the tourism department for coming and presenting the report, quarter one on tourism to the portfolio committee. The interactions have been very mutually beneficial, and I think the meeting went very, very well. Thanks very much. Minister and Deputy Minister Groote and Almaltese, the Tamansent. Honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, we are now proceeding to.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Ambanega, the Tamansent. Ralebo. We are now proceeding to the report, honourable members, on quarter three and quarter four in terms of our agenda for today. The report was circulated to the rest of us as committee members. So I just want to check from ourselves, honorable members, whether there is anything that any member thinks it may be a misrepresentation of what we have discussed and dealt with, or there might be something missing in the report of quarter three and quarter four of the department. Anybody? I take it, honorable members, that we have read the report, we have understood the report, and we take the report to be a true reflection of what we discussed as the committee. Is there any objection that we adopt the report as read? Agreed?
We agree, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. The next item, honorable members, is the minutes. The minutes were also circulated to the rest of the members of the portfolio committee. I take it that members have gone through the minutes, and if there are issues that we think are a misrepresentation of what we dealt with in the meeting of the portfolio committee, raise them. If that is not the case, we would want to get from the members, those who are saying we must adopt the minutes, they must suggest so, and then get a seconda, and then we move to the announcements. Anything missing in the minutes? It doesn't look like there is something missing. Anything which is a gross misrepresentation of what we discussed? It doesn't look like there is any. Do we have any member moving for the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection of the proceedings of our meeting as indicated?
Chairperson, I, Lusizo Makubela, move for the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection of what transpired in our portfolio committee meeting.
Thank you very much, Aus Lucy. Any seconda? Do we have a seconda for the proposal for the minutes to be adopted?
Chair, I was not in the meeting, but I'm not sure if I'm allowed to second.
No, we need people who were in the meeting. Those who were in the meeting, can we get a seconda? honorable members, have you fainted? Or am I not audible? Okay. We take it then, honorable members, that silence means consent with the proposal by honorable Makubela that the minutes as sent, circulated, read, are a true reflection of what actually occurred in our meeting as the portfolio committee as indicated. So the minutes are now adopted as a true reflection. Do we have any announcements, Honorable Boltino, other than the fact that we are meeting next week on Tuesday to attend to the report from SAT? And that the Boltino?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, the only thing that we want to remind the committee about, we have that transformation tourism transformation report. The report is complete, and we have circulated to members. We would appreciate it if there are any issues that members think are not covered in that report. Members can raise those issues, and then so that in the next meeting with the SAT, we can finalize that report so that we can share that report with the rest of the members in the National Assembly, Chairperson. That's all we want to request from the committee members.
What is the deadline?
Chair, if we can get input in the course of the week, it's fine, Chairperson. It will be okay with us.
So our expectation will be that by the next time we meet on Tuesday.
Yay.
At least
the committee must be able to adopt the report.
The report by next week. So yes, honorable members have until Sunday to do that. Then on Monday we can do the consolidation, and on Tuesday we present the report. Or we must give members until Friday so that we have the entire weekend to do consolidation, and Monday we send the report to members, and Tuesday we adopt.
Agreed, Chair.
Okay. So what will happen, honorable members, is that by Friday, the expectation will be that the rest of the members of the portfolio committee who have not yet sent in their inputs will do so. If there is no input coming, we will take it that is silence, meaning consent with the report on transformation as indicated. Over the weekend, we will do consolidation of the administration. Monday, we will send a draft to the rest of the collective of the members. And on Tuesday, we will then do the adoption of the report immediately after our interaction with SAT. Honorable members, I want to take this opportunity to thank you for your presence, your incisive, decisive participation in the portfolio committee today on quarter one, 2020. Of the department. And this brings us to the end of the portfolio committee meeting.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Crumble.
Chair, sorry, it's many defrators. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, it's Honorable Defrator, sorry.
I'm so sorry. I didn't see when I could just ask a quick question. And that is, we received the reports and updates from the Howick visit. Are we going to be looking for the future meeting?
Yes, definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Honorable members, go well. Tamansi Ntambanikahle. We'll meet next week Tuesday.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very, very much, Chair. And God bless you, Chair.
Ralevoha, Gumba Gumba. But we need to go out there and go to the Jaske River.
But that will not fail.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye, Jerry.
Bye, Petra.
Okay, I just want to make sure she agreed that there will be a meeting on the Howick report.
Look, what we want Petra, we don't have a report from the district and the province at the moment. Mm. Ne? So what we want to do, we also want to pursue that so that the district and the province can also submit something so that the committee can have a complete picture. Because what we have now, we have a report from the municipality and then we have a report from the department as well. We have those two.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Who? I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
I can hear you. Okay, so then you'll see, me. And tell me, there was now this weekend in the caucus, there was a whole thing about the annual report. Did you guys receive anything that you must bring forward dates for the annual report presentation?
Local, the suggestions that we made to the committee was if from your side, the department, you can table as soon as possible, then it will make it possible for us to rework our program slightly.
Yeah.
I advise the chair not to amend the program until such time you guys from your side, you have tabled something to parliament. Then on the basis of that will be able to trigger something on our side to our program. As of now, our proposal to the chair was let's keep our program. It is as soon as you guys you make a table, then immediately we will do some rework of our program.
Yeah, now because at this stage we should be able to table the department's report Friday, the 16th.
This coming Friday.
No, not this one. On the 16th.
In November.
No, 16th of October.
Oh, 16th of October.
Yeah, and then the one for SAT maybe the following week.
Uh-huh.
But I should have a better indication by next Monday.
Okay, that will be great, Petra, because I didn't want us to disrupt our program, only to find ourselves where we
are. Yeah, I've warned people that I changed. So I've asked by the 23rd of October, they must give me their presentation for even earlier. So I've warned them to start working on it.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll see. So we're pushing to get it tabled as soon as possible.
Yeah, that will be great. That will be great.
And at least this time we didn't get all those audit findings, so we're fine.
Okay. Thanks, Simone. Because that's what I was going to make a follow-up about, whether is it possible that we can get a specific date as exactly when are you going to table, you know?
Yeah, no, I've been working on the 16th of October, they can work on the letter that they got straight, because what happened with SAT is they got a letter straight from Treasury with the deadline 16 November. So I could tell them, don't listen to those dates. You've got to follow the internal processes. Because if that's to work, keep on working on that date, we will never finish.
That's fine.
Okay. Must have a good day, Ne.
Okay. Thank you, Sister.
Okay. Bye.
Sure. Bye. Hey, Sibo.
Wait.
Go amba that's an impulse.
No, go right.
Okay.
Right. Now, it is promising that if we have a proposed date from the department, then we just have to check that and see why. Because it's frustrating on my side in terms of putting together because now I have to go back and redo the whole, BRRR where I have indicated things that are not reported now. I was working on the deadline of the 16th as initially proposed. Now with the second letter from the house chair, now I have to go back and redo the whole report. But we will wait then for the department because I was working on, because I also talked to Mark about the frustration. And said, no, it's fine, I must continue with the, you're using the quarterly reports.
Uh-huh.
So everything I was writing was based on the quarterly reports.
Uh-huh.
So now that the ARs will be considered, it means I have to go back now and have substantive changes in some of the sections of the report. But we will handle it. It's just that we have to know then when SAET, et cetera, I say when SAET is tabling.
That's why I was really, really reluctant to the extent that I don't know when I was making a call to you, but unfortunately I couldn't find you because I wanted us to agree on how to advise the chair, you know, on this, you know. But in any way, I indicated to him that it's I suggested that let's not change our program. Let's let the department table, and then on the basis of that, and then we will know what to do.
Yeah,
we can't plan for something that is not in front of us. Otherwise,
it's I had hoped that the committee would even, because I included that part, not to say at least we must come out of this meeting with the date. But no, the matter was not raised. So, but at least it's comforting what Petra is saying. You just have to Other than that, there's nothing we can do because these are processes bigger than the committee. Right?
Exactly.
Thanks, bro.
Sapho kempo, mke nibaleke ndothatha ingane mani esikolweni niphinde nibuye quickly.
Okay, bro.
Sharp. Sharp.